Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. Today, we have a special guest that I will be interviewing for this episode, but before we go into it, let's get through some ads and some PSAs and some show promos, and we'll get back right to you guys. So I'll see you guys in around 4 or 5 minutes and get through the juicy details of today's episode. So here we go.
This is Pure Dracula from MacLu, and you are tuned in to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver, CITR.ca.
Mark your calendar for February 29th, 2024, because the Study and Go Abroad Fair is coming to Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center. Don't miss this free opportunity to start planning your next step in education at the undergraduate or postgraduate level, or to travel abroad. Meet with top universities, graduate schools, and professional schools from Canada and around the world to learn about the university and college programs on offer, scholarships, as well as travel, work, and volunteer opportunities worldwide. To learn more or to register for free, please visit studyandgoabroad.com and join us February 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center.
The Association of Canadian Archivists student chapter at UBC is happy to announce their 15th annual student-led conference taking place on February 16th with the theme Archives and the Environment, Land, Colonialism, and the Climate Crisis. This virtual event will reflect and discuss the responsibility of the archivist in the time of climate crisis and how archival records play into reparative justice for colonial brutalities. This is free to attend for students, and registration can be found at www.acasymposium.arts.ubc.ca. No matter where you are on February 16th, virtually join this vital student-led conference happening from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. PST.
Canadian Arts and Culture Organizations. Student Work Placement Program at the Cultural Human Resources Council is able to provide wage subsidies for post-secondary level students to work for you. A two-minute phone call to confirm your eligibility, 20 minutes to complete the online application, and you'll secure thousands of dollars in less than 2 weeks. If you hired, currently employ, or would like to hire students, we want to hear from you. Find our contact info at culturalhrc.ca.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeff, and this is Leanin' with Jeff. So, as I mentioned, We have a guest today, very special guest, and I will be interviewing him throughout this episode. I did tell you guys that I will be bringing back more interviews lately, and it seems like I'm booked for a couple weeks with my friend here for this week and then another local band next week or so. So stay tuned for all the wonderful interviews that are coming soon. As I always do, I mention the weather for our audience members. Today is not that great. It's a bit gloomy. Yesterday and a couple days before that was very sunny, so we've got some sun, but it seems like we're going to have some rain for the next couple days. So I hope you guys have the coats to warm you guys up, and use an umbrella, please, because you never want to get too wet unless you like getting wet. I'm not sure what you guys all like. But all right, so before further ado, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. So my name is Mark. I'm a fourth year here at UBC, and I'm a psychology major. I recently just received some really good news, and I'm sure I'm going to be sharing more about it with Jeff here today. But all in all, I'm just very excited to be here. So thank you very much, Jeff.
Awesome. Thank you for coming. It's always great to have undergraduate students come in my studio and do an interview with me, because I think a lot of the audience members that I have are students. And I think a lot of bringing in other students to talk about university life, grad school, you know, study tips, and talking about stress, I think that's a very big topic that we should all touch upon, because everyone has their own way of dealing with that, which is something that we will be touching upon today as our interview. Okay, so the first thing I would like to say or ask is, how are you, Mark? How is today? How have you been? The semester going all right? All that, I want to know all the details.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I'm doing quite well, actually. I think for the last few semesters, they've been quite stressful and rough. But recently, the semester as it started, I've been a bit more chill. I've been relaxing a bit more. And all in all, today is a quite happy day for me. A lot of things have happened over the past few semesters, including one of me getting into a few law schools. And so I'm quite happy today to be talking and sharing this journey with you. But all in all, this academic semester has been going quite well. And I think with a lot of the stress relieved, now I can really head into my classes with a more open mind, where I'm really just there to consume knowledge and be able to learn from some really intelligent professors, whereas before I might just be chasing grades and just looking to get that number. So yeah.
Congratulations for getting into law school. I know that was a goal for you, a very strong goal that you wanted to achieve during your undergrad. We met last semester, I believe, but it turns out we were already in a class the semester prior to that. But yeah, you know, you told me a lot about your goals and your goal to achieve law school before undergrad too, which we'll get into shortly. But I just want to say congratulations, Mark, for getting into your dream law school. And also I want to say for the listeners out there, congratulations to everyone who finished your midterm successfully or just finishing it off. I know it's a very tough time. And if you got into any grad schools, anyone who's listening, or law schools or anything else that you were planning on doing or you were working towards, congratulations. You know, you guys all deserve that support. And I think everyone should, it's very important to acknowledge, you know, your achievements and your hard work being acknowledged. So congratulations again to Mark and everyone out there. And I think I want to move on to the other questions. And so was law school something that you were thinking about before your undergrad, or was it something that intrigued you during your undergrad?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to law school, it's definitely something that I've wanted to do for a long time. I remember when I was a kid, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my career. I had a lot of relatives who were different professionals in the industry, some in healthcare, some were engineers, and I really did look up to these people. And I think for the most part, being Asian and having that culture around me really cemented the idea that education was really important, and having to pursue something that will lead to some professional studies was something that was already ingrained in my mind. So I honestly, at one point, I thought about being like a dentist and going into healthcare and things like that. But I think there's a culmination of things that go into why I made this decision to go down this route. And one of it was being my family's background and my family's story. And this happened when I was very young, when I was back in grade school. And I remember my parents had this legal battle, and they didn't really tell me much about it. Because I was a kid, I suppose. So they really didn't want me to get into too much of the details of what was going on. But ultimately, what was happening was they were getting sued because one of my dad's businesses, they fell off, and he ultimately became bankrupt because of that. And my family wasn't coming from a privileged place. None of my parents have undergraduate degrees. They've never attended post-secondary. And so I'd say we were more coming from a working class background, and having this legal battle really challenged us as a family. And my mother was not able to afford a legal defender to speak on her behalf. And so as a result, she actually went into the courtroom and had to defend herself. And that story really, I guess, changed the way how I viewed the world, in the sense that I saw how unequal and unfair the society is, where as a lawyer, you say that you are someone who tries to strive for equity and equality, but yet there's people like my mother who have to, you know, she's not fluent in English, she's not fluent in the legal system and all its intricacies, but she had to go in and ultimately defend herself. And I think that's such a shame. And if it's happening to us, I'm sure it's happening to other people, right? So that's something that ultimately sparked me and moved me away from the healthcare route, and really made me want to become a lawyer. Is it has to do with these socioeconomic disparities. So I guess to answer your question, I think that happened when I was around like grade 5 or 6, I'd say.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has this moment in their life where it changes their perspective and their goals. And in your case, it was very specific. I mean, for me, although I am looking into law school and other possible routes such as journalism, I don't think I've ever had an incident where it kind of made me like an eye-opening moment. And I think it's very interesting to kind of hear these stories of how people developed like these specific goals and paths that they are taking. What were some challenges that you had to overcome during your undergrad that possibly maybe doubted your, you know, made yourself doubt yourself about the path that you chose? And how did you overcome it, whether it was academic or your personal life or anything else?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think when it comes to challenges, I have a really interesting relationship with that word, because in my first time applying to UBC when I was in grade 12, I used the quote, "Adversity builds character," in my personal statement. And I still stand by that today. And to a lot of people whom I try to consult, I tell them that. And I try to let them know that it's normal for them to go through adversity, and that at the end it actually makes them stronger. It makes them better characters at the end. And for me, I think a lot of it has been social. So even before undergrad in high school, I was quite a chubby individual. I'm not going to bring up how like being poor leads you to have worse eating decisions and all that, but I was someone who was a bit more overweight. And I think in high school, people can be quite brutal in terms of the jokes they make and how they treat others. And so my self-concept was really deteriorated by people who made fun of me, because you wouldn't necessarily be praised or respected just because you were smart or you got 100 in every class. You would be respected if you were a jock or if you were like the top basketball player, you were a track star, you had lots of girlfriends, you wore the newest sneakers or the newest hoodies. And I saw people around me, they would wear the newest Adidas, the newest Jordan 1s. And I would ask them, I would be like, how do they have that? Like, we're like 16, 15-year-old kids. How can they afford that, you know? And I never understood it. And it wasn't until I was in grade 10, I got my first job. I started working, and I started working for my own money, and I started buying these things all by myself. And so since grade 10, I've never asked my parents for money. I've never asked them to buy my clothes, to buy me food, pay for my tuition. From a very young age, I've really learned to be independent in that sense. And I remember one of the biggest adversities was me wanting to buy a car when I was grade 12. And I worked two jobs because in British Columbia, the insurance is quite expensive when you get a car. It was around $5,000-$6,000 a year for me when I was a 17-year-old kid.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was very expensive. And so I had to work two jobs when I was in high school in grade 12, trying to keep up with my grades. And I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get into UBC at that point, because I was spending so much time working to fund a car and everything. And obviously, in hindsight, it's like, why would you trade the time just to get a car when professionally it doesn't mean much? But I think for me at the time, it was more about trying to achieve independence and trying to tell people that, like, I might not come from a background where my parents can get me a car. I might not come from a background where my parents can get me the newest essentials or the newest Nike Jordan 1s, but with my own two hands, I can make it happen. And I know it's a bit of an ego thing where I'm just trying to prove something when I don't necessarily need to. But that was a really big challenge for me. And going into UBC, that kind of social stigma that was against me carried on when I chose to study in the arts. And I know in comedy, I really like to use I really like to use a lot of my own insecurities as a motivation to write comedic things. And I guess my time in UBC has been me seeing a lot of TikToks, a lot of people saying that an arts degree is useless, it's a scam, you shouldn't be spending thousands of dollars learning how to write or learning how to draw or paint. Or, and I guess that's understandable from someone's perspective, but for me, I always found that so personal. And I found it such a big attack to my character, because that's something I chose to do. And yeah, so that was a really big challenge for me. But ultimately, I want to turn that kind of negativity into something positive, into something where I could actually use it to motivate myself to be better. And for me to overcome that and to not necessarily just prove people wrong, but to let them know that, hey, like, maybe you should reconsider your ideas about people in the arts, is for me to achieve my dreams and go into law school. So yeah, I think a big majority of my problems weren't necessarily financial, but they were more so social.
Yeah, no, I think, well, first of all, I don't think when you mentioned it being an ego, I think it's very important for everyone to not only look at things in a different lens, but being able to choose what to learn from it. Because as you mentioned, learning how to gain things from your own two hands, some people don't even think that way. Some people might just, you know, stop with, oh, I'm just in this situation where I can't do anything. And obviously, I can't speak for everyone, but I think it's very important to learn that with your own determination and your own actions, you can make something happen, whether it's not big or something. At least you can kind of give yourself the confidence, which is key, I think, to kind of tell yourself, oh, I can do something. You know, I can kind of move forward without, you know, all these external help that, you know, some people may have. And I think without that mindset, I don't think you or anyone could have, you know, really had that drive to go forward and learn and make mistakes and kind of build that character as well. Because as you mentioned, what you learn from high school, from all those social stigmas and all those stereotypes, And what you learned from that, you moved it directly to your undergrad, and I'm sure that helped you out a lot as well. And for those of you who are also going through that, and I'm sure a lot of people go through it too. I mean, I myself am in arts, and I agree with you. You know, there are TikToks where people would say arts degrees are useless and why would you do it? But I think the thing that I learned the most is, although being open to other people's perspectives and opinions are extremely important, building self-confidence with your own decisions is as important as it is to learn and listen to other people's opinions. Right. So, you know, for those of you who are having doubts about your degrees or anything in your life, definitely listen to the people around you, but also learn how to build that self-confidence with your decision-making, because I'm sure you came up with that decision with a reasonable, reasons. You know, you came up with pros and cons with what you should do, and that's how you came up with the decision. So don't disrespect that. Just keep it in mind and use it to kind of refer to other people's opinions. And I think that's a very good way to come up with anything. I think if I want to move on to more of an academic topic,
sure.
Do you have, because, oh, by the way, I do want to mention, if that's okay, you got into one of the best law schools in Canada, which is UBC Allard School of Law.
Thank you, sir.
That is an amazing achievement. For those of you who do not know, that is in the top 3 law schools in Canada, top 50 or 40 law schools in the world. And I mean, as you know, the acceptance rate is well under 10%, I think, or just at 10%. But just because it's 10% doesn't mean it's, you know, exactly 10%. I'm sure it's lower than the usual stats. So it's an amazing achievement. Only the top of the top students get into these law schools. And Mark here was able to achieve that goal. And I just want to say congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
And in order to do that, you need to have a very strong academic background. And I'm sure, Mark, you have probably gone through some hardships with, you know, grades and some academic struggles. And as much as I want to learn about those stories, I also want to first learn, do you have any study habits that helped you during your undergrad achieve that academic goal that you wanted?
Yeah, so I think that when I see my GPA and when I see the grades I get, this is something that I have a small problem with how people treat grades, is they think that if you get 100, that means you're very smart. And I don't mean to go all philosophy on you guys, but does getting high grades really mean that you're smart? And what does smart mean, right? Like, does smart mean that you get high grades? Or does being smart mean you're intelligent? Does being smart mean you're knowledgeable? Does smart being mean that you're really good at your field? Or does being smart mean you're good at everything, like a jack of all trades? Does being smart mean you know how to do math? Like, there's no, like, clear definition, right? So I don't necessarily think of myself as smart when I look at my GPA. I think of myself as someone who knows how to be a good student. That's how I think about it. And I think, like, for anyone who has high grades, they're not necessarily smart, but they're definitely someone who knows how to play the game. They know how to be a good student. And I think that's something that when you understand, it makes you engage in behaviors that lead you to that goal ultimately. And I remember in first year, I didn't necessarily have stellar grades. I was struggling a lot. I think writing in first year is very different from the writing that you do in high school. It's a lot more technical. They're a lot more picky. And the standards are just higher because they're teaching you how to write like an academic. They're teaching you how to write like a scientist in a research paper. And so you can't use those habits that you developed in grade 12 where you're adding lots of flowery language to lengthen the sentences and adding a lot of descriptors. And that's just not going to fly with a lot of professors here at UBC or at any university for the matter. So getting over that ego was a big first step for me in first year when I said, oh, I'm at UBC, like, it's top 50 university in the world. Like, I'm good. I'm a smart guy. But I think that really clapped back at me when I was in first year. So it wasn't until second year that I actually developed better study habits. And I think one of the study habits I engaged in was a lot more planning. So I would have a document and I would have all my courses there and study the syllabus, you know, study it like it's a reading that's assigned to you. And I think a lot of students overlook this part. They kind of give it a skim, you know, they don't respect the syllabus as much as they should. And I think it's a shame because the syllabus is like the roadmap. It's like it tells you where you're going to go. And so if you don't know what's ahead of you, you don't know where you're going to go, then, you know, some people might do really well not knowing where they end up. But I personally, I need a path to follow. And so if I see where I'm going to end up going or what I'm going to end up doing, if it's a project or a midterm, how much it's worth, I know how to allocate my resources and my time. And yeah, so that's a big part of it, is the planning aspect of it. I think in third year, that's when I achieved the highest grades. And that's, I can't say if it's a habit per se, but there's a mindset shift where I kind of saw studying for midterms and doing projects kind of like how bodybuilders train for a competition. So in bodybuilding, they have a show and they prepare for the show. And so the show is like the big event, right? It's like the Super Bowl. You go there and you compete and you perform. But the majority of the work doesn't happen at the show, right? The majority of the work happens before the show. It actually happens like 6 weeks before the show happens. You're already training, you're dieting, and you're trying to look your best on that day. So when that day comes, you actually don't need to do that much. You just show up, you take off your shirt, you spray tan yourself, and you look good, and you flex, and you pose. And so I started incorporating this rule where it's like a 1 week prep where before a big midterm or a big final exam, you have to begin studying at least 7 days prior. And some people might say, hey, but what if the midterm is only worth 5 or 10% and it's really easy? Like the content is not that hard. It doesn't matter, you know, because in psychology, that's how your memory works, right? You don't learn a lot of information at once. You learn it through, it's like a little sprinkle here and there every single day, right? So a lot of people, like, they can memorize song lyrics, right? Effortlessly, right? That's how their memory works. They can memorize lines from their favorite TV show, right? And I ask them, I'm like, did you try to memorize that? They're like, no, I didn't. But you can memorize it. You can recite it, though. So yeah. So why can't you recite, like, your course material? Why don't you know it? Right? It's like, it's not necessarily that you don't... People say, oh, I don't have a good memory. You know, I suck at studying. You don't suck at studying. If you can recite your favorite song, you can recite the entire book. You can recite the entire textbook. It's just a matter of being exposed to the material, looking at it, reading at it, manipulating the ideas in your head that I think is really important. It's more than just you opening the textbook and just reading it. It's more so really playing with the ideas, playing with what you learn in your head so that when the midterm comes, when the final comes, you actually don't need to do much because you did all the experimenting. It's all in your head. And so I think that is one of the biggest and most helpful habits I've had, which was the 1 week rule, the 1 week prep rule. And it just made my whole life so much easier, so much more stress-free, because before it would be like, oh, it's the midterms tomorrow, I got to study. You start cramming and you start asking your friends. You don't know what's going on. But when you give yourself time and multiple times to expose yourself to the material, it becomes quite easy, I'll say. So I think it's not what you study. I think it's how you study it. That's the most important.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I struggle with that too, you know. I think the one thing is if you get too caught up with the result, you forget how to even begin what you need to do. And I think that happens a lot. You know, sometimes there are times where burnout would come out before you even began because you're just overthinking right. So many ways of how this can go or what might end up with, you know. And I think the best thing is, yeah, you know, setting up that routine, setting up that mindset of how I should approach it instead of, oh, okay, what I'm going to get, or, you know, if I don't get this, I think, you know, a lot of students do kind of get overwhelmed by, as I mentioned, the result, and you kind of overthink and put energy into this area that's kind of in a wrong direction. So I think, as you mentioned, it's a great way to kind of learn how to study, then more so about like what to study.
For sure.
And I think that's an amazing mindset. And really, it does come down to the mindset, you know, kind of go into it. Obviously, midterm, final exam, it's very stressful. Everyone is stressed. But I think the one thing that you can do is take away like that 1-2% of stress away. Yes. And I think that really does go a long way. And to do that, as Mark mentioned, you know, setting up that routine, you know, focusing on how to study a material, then more so about, you know, what you can study, or kind of almost discouraging yourself too, you know. Don't say that you're not good at studying. I'm sure that everyone has their own method of obtaining information and just, you know, learning a certain material. And I think as long as you can catch what's right for you, everyone can achieve the grade that they want.
For sure.
The next one I want to kind of go into is outside of your academia. Was there, as you mentioned, you did work a lot during your high school years, but was there anything that you did in particular that you prepared for that was intentional for law school or not, or any other extracurriculars that you were involved in during your undergrad?
Yeah, so I actually didn't do too much. I mean, I was in Army Cadets for a long time, when I was 12 until I was around 19. So I was in cadets until first year university, so until second year university. And I'd argue that that's one of the most important extracurriculars I've done. That's really changed my outlook on life. And I know when I say Army Cadets, people might imagine like you being in the military and holding rifles and being yelled at. And I mean, I guess some of that is true, but at the same time, it's a leadership program, and it teaches you how to be a planner. It teaches you how to be a public speaker. It teaches you how to be a teacher and someone that doesn't necessarily give up right away. It makes you, it gives you the skills that prepares you for a lot of different adversities in your life. And I think that's one of the most important extracurriculars I've done, because the one rule that I got from that that experience was, to be a good leader, you must be a good follower. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, because they think that if you're a good leader, you're just someone who puts his hands on their waist and points at people and tells them, do this, do that, do this, do that, go do that, go do that, I'll watch you, do that. But that's not being a leader, that's being a boss, you know? That's just being a manager. Like, I'd argue that anyone can be a manager. Anyone can be a boss, right? Because no one wants to be the person that actually does stuff, right? Like, you just want to be the person that tells people to do things. And now we're heading into a discussion about power, right? Power hierarchies and things like that. But that's ultimately what we as humans kind of subside towards, is we like power, but we don't want to do what it takes to have that power, which segues into someone that I really look up to, which is Spider-Man and Peter Parker, the character, because he taught me that with great power comes great responsibility. And that includes whatever you want to do in life, whether you want to be a CEO, an artist, a painter, a medical doctor, a nurse, a podcast host like yourself, a professor. These are all positions with varying degrees of power, you know? It can be the power of you hosting this radio show and having, you know, hundreds of ears at hostage. It can be a medical doctor who's performing surgery on someone and having their life in their hands, or it can be a lawyer. But you cannot just, we look up to these people. We look up to these people because they have power. We look up to the professor who can tell their students what to do. But I think ultimately there's so much that goes into it that you don't know. And there's so much stress and anxiety that goes over that you don't know. And so what that quote from Peter Parker taught me was, okay, so you want to be a law student. Okay, well, you better start working like a law student. Like, if you want someone to ask you what you study, and you give them the wink and you give them the little smirk because you're so proud of yourself, and you say, I study law, and you get the, oh, wow. Like you want, if you want that moment, that's fine. That's fine if you want that moment, but you need to work for it. You need to work as if you're a law student. And if you want to be a medical doctor and you want someone to say, wow, you're medical, well, yeah, you have to work like one. You can't just sit back and say, oh, you know, I'm not necessarily going to do whatever it takes to do it, but I just want the title. You know, it doesn't work that way. And so I think for extracurriculars like cadets taught me a lot about discipline, and I segued a bit into Spider-Man as well, but they're very much interconnected in how it prepared me with a mindset that led to some of my academic success. In terms of other extracurriculars, I didn't really do much. I'd say I did work in retail a lot. I enjoyed retail a lot. It helped me build a lot of my people and social skills. And I know that being in law is quite a people and social job. So I'm quite grateful for that to build onto my skill set. But yeah, I'd say the biggest extracurricular by far is Army Cadets. Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I think as we move on to after your undergrad, I think it's safe to say that law school is a stressful place, you know, at times. There's a lot of materials and a lot of things that you need to study for. And although your undergrad can be stressful, I'm sure law school is a totally different ballgame. And I want to know, what are some of your own ways that you use to relieve stress? You know, how do you kind of give yourself the moment to escape from the environment that you're in, do whatever you need to do to forget about it, and start and just refresh your mind and then come back? What are some ways in which you do that for yourself?
Yeah, so I think stress relief and anxiety relief is such a big part of anyone's journey to success. You know, I think if you're not stressed out about something, there's something wrong. I've never heard someone say, oh, it's a cakewalk, you know, I'm just graduating, no, nothing big, you know, I'm just gonna walk into medical school. Like, that doesn't happen, you know. There's a lot of, not just stress, but a lot of emotions, right? Especially if you care about it a lot. I'm sure there's one person who's like a prodigy, a genius. Oh, yeah, I just got it. No big deal. Yeah, sure. But for 99.9% of us, we don't have the genes. We don't have the talent. You know, you have to claw and grind for it. And there's a lot of emotions. So I guess one of the biggest stress relief that I used was the gym and working out. And I think that played such a big part in everything. I'm not giving it enough credit, but it definitely deserves so much more. And I'm a big advocate of fitness, and not just like bodybuilding, but just like going to work out and investing in your own health is so important, you know, because without your body, without your brain, without your mind, like, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing, right? So you need to invest time to keep yourself operating at the highest level, which includes having a good sleep routine, right? Sleeping on time, getting your hours in, right? Some people, they say they sleep 4 hours. I'm just not a fan, you know, because you're shortchanging yourself and your own potential, right? And so, yeah, I saw a lot of gains. My memory improved. I was sharper. I felt better every day when I slept more, when I worked out more. And it's a routine for me every single day. I work out 6 times a week. And I think that's one of the best stress reliefs ever, because there's the physiological component where people say it releases endorphins and all that, but from your question, it's escape from reality, right? You get to just leave work, school, home. You go into the gym. No one really cares what you do in the gym, because everyone's there for themselves. No one's there for someone else. So you're in there. You're playing your favorite music. You're by yourself. You're lifting some weights, and it's just you. And you get to escape from it. And for the next hour, 2 hours, you don't need to worry about anything other than improving yourself in that domain. Okay, can I get one more rep of this exercise? Can I just run for 30 more seconds? That's all you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about the LSAT. You don't need to worry about law school, about your English grades. You don't need to worry about any of that. And that's a really good escape. I think entertainment is also a really good escape for me. I think I talked to you about it before, but I really enjoy watching wrestling. And it's really childish. It's very silly, but I think it's great escape. It's I figured out that great art, you know, in performance arts, it's all about how well can you suspend people's disbelief, no matter how unrealistic it is, right? Like, we can talk about Avatar the movie or Avatar the TV show or Spider-Man. It's like there's no man crawling on the walls of New York City. There's no such thing. But because the story is so compelling, you're able to suspend people's disbelief. And whatever worries they have at home, they're going through a divorce, you know, their kids are leaving them, they have financial troubles. Doesn't matter, because right now I'm invested in the story and I'm able to escape from reality. So that's a great question. I think wrestling and going to the gym and working out have been so monumental for me, because there's so much stress that went into this process. And when it's a childhood dream for me, there's just so much at stake, right? And there's so much pressure. And I think it's very much necessary that you have these outlets that you can de-stress through.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to answer that question. I personally love to go to the gym to relieve my stress. And I think for those of you guys who are thinking about finding ways to relieve stress, I think one of the best things is to find something that's in a completely different area that is giving you the stress. So whether if you're studying, do something that involves physical activity, let's say. You know, don't sit down, don't try to find, although you can listen to some music and lie down, I think it's also a great idea to, you know, if you're getting stressed with studying and you're sitting down all day, go outside, you know, use your body, use all those different senses and you know, just completely isolate, like even the movement as well, not just mental, but just the movement, the physical stuff, and finding ways to kind of make that complete distinction between those two areas. I think that's a great way to find things. I want to segue more into your thoughts of law school, you know, what kinds of areas of law that you want to go into.
Sure.
Although it can be a little early, I guess. But before we kind of get into that last question, this was a great thing that you mentioned where there is a lot of stake, especially for you if you've been thinking about it since you were younger. And I personally have that fear in my mind with anything else, where if I start to, you know, care about something so much, I fear if it doesn't work out, I'm going to get hurt pretty badly.
Right.
And
right.
That fear of just, oh, if I care too much, I'm giving this thing too much power.
Yes.
To later that can possibly destroy me. And right. So I'm wondering, is that kind of fear something you had? If it was, did you ever overcome it? Or was there a certain perspective that you took that helped you kind of move on with the process and the path that you chose to take?
Yeah, for sure. I think like that's such a relatable question, because that's exactly what I went through for the past, you know, basically my entire undergrad, you know, which is I want to do this thing so badly. And I try not to tell too many people about it, because when you make it your whole personality and you make it your whole identity, which a lot of people do, right? If you look at TikTok, they say, oh, I'm a pre-med, I'm a pre-law student, this is the day in the life of a pre-law student. And that's fine, I respect that. But the back of my head goes, okay, what happens when you fail, though? What happens when you don't do it? What happens when they reject you? Like, what? That's going to hurt your ego and your self-concept so much. And it's really hard to recover from that. And so for me, a lot of it was like, just like, as you said, like, how much do I want to invest my psyche into this so I don't get hurt? Because obviously I'm living the dream right now, and I'm living in a perfect world where my dream school since I was in grade 6 accepted me. And I'm on cloud 9 right now. But I can also imagine another world where they don't accept me and I don't know what to do. And I can't imagine how damaging that would be. But I would say that for the past month or so, despite me pondering the question that you just asked, what I learned was to not flinch, to not give in, to not allow yourself doubts and all the circumstances that can make you doubt yourself, to stop believing in yourself in the dream, right? It's obviously when there's more at stake, you're going to get hurt when it doesn't happen. And I was fully prepared for it to not happen. You know, I wasn't arms crossed and saying, oh, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to be me. It's always me. At some point I was like, you know what? Like, if they're going to reject me, it's fine. But I gave it my all. I gave it 100%. It's my childhood dream. And I understand that sometimes you can work really hard for something and it just doesn't happen. And sometimes it's your fault and sometimes it's not your fault. And there's just not much you can do, right? But I developed that kind of maturity over the course of this year where, yes, studying law, and not just studying law, but studying law at UBC was my lifetime achievement. It was a dream for me. And, you know, when it comes to what are you going to study after, you know, what type of lawyer to become, I honestly don't really know. And I haven't thought that far yet. It's just, to me, my story and my dream, it was never about, you know, me working in a big corporate law firm and walking around like I'm Harvey Specter and having the hairdo and the tie and the suits and making a lot of money. It was never really about that. It was about me waking up in the morning to an email from Peter Allard School of Law saying you're in. And so I haven't really thought that far yet, but to answer your question, I'd say that despite me doubting myself and worrying about me over-investing in this journey, in this process, I changed my mind so much when before I said, oh, I don't want to go anywhere unless it's UBC. I only want to go to UBC. And if I don't go to UBC, I might as well not be a lawyer because that's the only place I want to go. And being super hard on myself. And there's super high stakes. But I kind of let my guard down. And I became more realistic. And I said, hey, you know what? Like, law school, regardless of which law school you go to, it's a very competitive process, whether it's Lakehead or Toronto Metropolitan University. It's still very competitive. And it's an achievement nonetheless. And for me to let my guard down and say, hey, you know what? Like, maybe you don't need to be that hard on yourself. Let's just see if we can get into one law school first. Let's just start there. Right? Baby steps, right? Because I think when you make your goals so big, it's great. It's great to have big, ambitious goals. But I think when you have big goals, in some way you do set yourself up for failure because it becomes intangible and hard to grasp. So you want to set those baby steps. And I think for myself, it was like, okay, let's start with one. If we can get one, I'll be super happy just getting to anywhere. And then we'll move on from there. So I say, yeah, like, don't take your investments off the table. You know, this is still a very emotional dream. Whatever dream you may have, I still want you to keep chasing it. But don't be too overly ambitious to the point where it really hurts you. And you place so much of your identity on this dream to where if you don't achieve it, you might feel very bad about yourself. So I think start with those baby steps. And I think you'll fare much better in trying to achieve your dreams.
I mean, I keep saying this, but that's a really great way to answer the question. And I resonate with that a lot. I think for me too, if you start thinking about goals that are just too far ahead, you get so overwhelmed by it, you get so scared by it, that you end up not attempting it. Yes. And I think, as I mentioned in my show before too, if you don't quite know the bigger picture of what you want to do, think of what you can do that's right in front of you. Okay, do I have a test next week? What can I do to make the best? What can I do to study for it and achieve the high school in that? Oh, next semester I'm taking this course or I have this job. Okay, what can I do now to prepare for that? You know, those baby steps are a great way to kind of have you stay motivated, stay on track, and still have that bigger goal in your mind so you don't get too overwhelmed by it. Right. And I think that's a great way to kind of begin your journey with something that's much bigger. And thank you for answering that question. You know, it's totally fine. You don't know what law you want to practice yet. You're not in law school yet. Yes. You got in, you're kind of excited. And like you said, you know, that baby step is going to help you go one step further into your goal. And I think that's a great way to set your mindset in. Unfortunately, Mark, we are almost out of time. Sure. You know, this hour, a lot of people don't know, goes by very, very fast. And so as much as I want to spend a couple more hours with you, we have to end off with a small segment game that I prepare for all my guests. So for this game, it's just a bunch of would you rather questions. And the goal here is to answer them as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Because I want this to be an immediate in and out. Of your brain.
Sure.
No need to think about different possibilities. Wow. You know, all that LSAT studying mindset, I want it all gone.
Okay. All right.
Just in and out, all right?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather have the ability to speak to animals, but only insects, or have the power to understand any language, but only when whispered to you by strangers?
I'd say understand any language, but whisper to me through strangers.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think it'd be kind of weird, though, if it's whispered?
Yeah, for sure. It'd be really awkward, but I think that's more powerful than being able to talk to insects, so I'd take that, yes.
Would you rather live in a world where everyone can read your thoughts or where you can hear everyone else's thoughts, but only in a language you don't understand?
I would want to hear other people's thoughts, but in a language I don't understand.
Okay. Yes. Is it because you don't want people coming into your privacy and kind of knowing?
Yeah, I have some messed up thoughts sometimes, man. I don't want to get canceled.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather have the ability to teleport, but each time you do, you shrink by 1 inch?
Wow.
Or have the ability to fly, but you can only do so backwards?
I would fly, but do so backwards for sure.
Okay.
I value my height. So, yes.
An inch is a lot, though. Yes. If we were to change this to 1 centimeter, would you?
I don't think I can, man.
Yeah.
Too strong a currency.
That's true. I mean, what circumstance would you even have worth to teleport to?
Yeah. For 1 inch of your, for 1 centimeter.
Centimeter
height.
Even. Yeah. Wow. All right. Next one. Would you rather have the ability to talk to plants, but they constantly insult you, or be able to inanimate objects, but they all gossip about you?
I'd say inanimate objects, but they gossip about me. So at least I get some third-party feedback on my character and how I can improve.
All right.
Yes.
Next one. Would you rather have the ability to become invisible, but only when no one is looking at you, or be able to read minds, but only when people are thinking negative thoughts about you?
I would read minds when they're thinking negative thoughts about me.
Okay.
I would be really sad, but at least I know. At least I know.
Are you one of those people that would rather have someone be brutally honest with you, or you do kind of appreciate the sugarcoating around it?
See, I appreciate the sugarcoating and I like the validation, but at the same time, I want people to be truthful with me. And sometimes it's not fun to hear, but I think sometimes it's what you need to hear. So, yes.
Awesome. All right, last one. Would you rather have the power to control electronics with your mind, but every time you do, you forget one random fact, or be able to speak with ghosts, but they all tell terrible dad jokes?
I would speak with ghosts, but they all tell
terrible
bad
dad jokes.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's it for the small segment. Before we end off today, is there anything that you want to send off a small message to my audience, whether it's about academics, whether it's about personal life, whether it's about stress or anything that we've discussed or not discussed during the hour?
Yeah. So once again, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. To all the audience members that are listening to this, I just hope that you guys can keep dreaming and understand that to dream is one of the most powerful weapons that you can ever have in your life. That's how the first light bulb was invented. That's how the first airplane was invented. That's how you know, we have social equality now, right? It's because of one word, and that word is dream. And so whatever you do, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop being you. Keep working hard, and I'm sure you're going to make it to where you want to go. So thank you so much, Jeff.
I don't think there's a better way to end the episode. All right, I hope you guys all have a wonderful week. Thank you, Mark, for coming to my episode today. And I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Ready or not, who's in the back trying to steal my pop? Jeans on mock, my fans on watch, my friends on lock, my friends on lock. Who's in the back trying to steal my keys? Too many bags trying to steal my green. Girls in the back with a couple bangs, boys in the front with a couple chains. Fees on lock, but the stream won't stop. My friends on lock.
Doucement, tendrement, calmement, monte ma écobéta.